guitar riff. All right, high noon in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Joining us now from the Washington Post, our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg. Hello, Greenberg. How do you do, buddy?
I'm doing super. How are you?
We're doing well, dude. We're doing well. Kind of turned the page on Tampa. We had Florio on earlier, and he said, you know, it's possible Tampa's just really good. I think we maybe should open our minds to that. Maybe they stink, too. Who knows? But Mike Evans and Godwin and Baker all look pretty dialed in. We are on to the New York Giants here on the B. Mitch and Finley program. What did you think of Jaden week one, Neil?
I thought he was fine. He ran a lot, which seems to be rankling some people, but I thought it was a fine opening outing. I mean, he wasn't the worst quarterback in the league and only had, by my count, like one turnover-worthy play. I thought he did okay. I mean, it definitely could have been a lot worse. He exited healthy, and you know, he's only going to improve. So I thought it was a, you know, fine performance. And you know, there's a lot of new people in a lot of new places in that organization. So a game or two of growing pains is probably something that just makes sense.
Have you ever seen a game where guys get to a quarterback that much, like looking at the defense, and just never get him to the ground?
You mean how elusive he was?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about Jaden. I'm talking about the other side. Our defense getting to Baker,
oh, yeah,
but couldn't get him to the ground.
The defense was not good. I mean, Baker Mayfield looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback. The secondary was underwhelming, I guess I'll put it, to put it mildly. You know, Sainer still had a tough time. Benjamin St. Juste had a tough time. They seemed to be able to pick apart the corners almost at will. And I think that's really going to be the problem with this team going forward, is having a really bad secondary at a time when league passing is a more efficient way to move the football. You know, I'm not so much concerned about the offensive side, but the secondary would really be worrying me if I was a Washington hopeful.
I have said the same thing. I tend to agree with you, sir. I think, dude, what do you make of league-wide passing numbers being down in week one, rushing numbers being significantly higher? Is that a trend or just a one-time thing?
I think it's a one-time. I mean, I don't put much stock into week one results. We saw two teams win without scoring an offensive touchdown. Week one is, you know, any game and any week in any season can be some fluky stuff. You know, it's just a lot of quarterbacks really weren't part of their preseason, and I think just with the scoring that happened in terms of the scoreboard, you know, 47-10, you're not going to see much passing. 37-20, not going to see a whole lot of passing. You know, 28-6, 33-17. I mean, those scores are gonna tilt towards the running of the football. So I don't put too much stock into it. And I see a lot of people saying that rushing is now more efficient than passing, and that's just silly. I mean, the numbers don't bear that out at all, especially when you compare a running back running the football versus a quarterback passing the football.
I tend to agree with you there. I do wonder, though. I think defenses have – I think a lot of defenses now kind of deploy their – like, the days of, like, easily being able to identify a coverage pre-snap, I feel like quarterbacks are getting less and less of those looks because safeties are, like, in movement so frequently, or what they – the area they're assigned to cover changes as a play unfolds. And I think some of that is impacting the pass game. But I think when the right quarterback has the right – Like Mahomes last year kind of had to chunk his way down the field, right? Well, now that they've got Worthy and Rice, and when Hollywood Brown comes back, like, good luck.
Yeah, and what we're seeing is, you know, the two high shells, that sort of thing, is making the passing more conservative, like you said. So the average depth of target is coming down. So you're seeing more of the short to intermediate type throws as opposed to the intermediate long throws. But like you said, when you're able to, you know, exploit the secondary on long passes, or you have the personnel where the defense, you know, either can't cover every place at one time, or you're really good at the line of scrimmage motion, disguising your plays, you know, that's going to be, that's obviously going to lead to more success. But yeah, I think the passing, the depth of target is what's really shrinking. But again, I think a lot of it is also dependent on the scoreboard. I mean, if a team is trailing, they're going to throw the ball more. And if they're up against a weak secondary, they're probably going to take more shots downfield. But I think overall, we're going to see a little more conservative passing game, but I think eventually that'll start to loosen up, because it's always, each side's always reacting to the other. So if they start to react too much to the short to intermediate, then that's just going to open up downfield more.
It's funny you mentioned the ADOT and all that stuff. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post here on the BetQL guest line. What did you think of Cliff's offense? What did you think of a Washington offense that really didn't get much going downfield?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the concerns about Terry, you know, getting like the DeAndre Hopkins treatment, which is being put off to the left side, mostly short, you know, passes, not too far past the line of scrimmage. We saw that in the preseason, and everyone was saying, oh, it's just, you know, preseason trying to get some things working. And then we saw it in an actual game, and that's a red flag for me. I would be concerned if I had, like, Terry McLaurin in my fantasy league, because I think he is going to get that treatment. At least it's trending that way. I wasn't overly impressed with the offense necessarily from that aspect. Again, I still think there's a lot of new parts. I thought Eckler did pretty well. So I think overall we've, you know, the offense was okay. But, you know, aside from like Brian Robinson and Eckler, I do have some concerns, especially about Terry and how he's going to be used.
But how different would all that, how different would that whole conversation have been if Jaden just hit him on the deep shot?
You know what? You're right. That's true. But you look at where he lined up, most of the time it was off to the left, at least from the chart that I saw. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is kind of why I try not to overreact to any one game in any one week. Because like you said, I mean, you hit a 70, 80 yard pass down the field or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, and then the numbers look a lot different. You know, that's also why when I'm doing like my analysis stuff, you know, I try to strip away a lot of the noise, and I would consider stuff like that noise, right? Like if you have, you know, one big play of 80 yards and you're, you know, 1 for 7 on everything else, you know, and the receiver ends up with 100 yards receiving, I mean, you know, you have to look at that with a critical eye and think to yourself, okay, well, the 1 for 7 is probably more indicative than the big shot downfield. But you're right, it's a narrative-driven, you know, league, and we're in the content creation business, and, you know, we certainly would probably be having a different conversation. But I do think that it's something to at least monitor going forward.
The lining up on the left, the lack of motion, that noise, that cacophony of people tweeting about it, making it a topic, won't go away unless they start to score. What are your numbers showing you, kind of projecting out for this weekend against the Giants?
So I'm actually picking the Giants to win only because it appears that
I did not need that on my birthday, Greenberg.
Daniel Jones saves his best games for Washington. I mean, you look at his career against Washington. His passer rating is 98. It's 82.5 against the rest of the league. And the average during that time was 84.3. So he's actually a below-average passer against literally every other team in the league. And he's like a top-10 passer against Washington. So I think there's still going to be some growing pains with Washington. I'm leaning towards the Giants in this matchup. And I think that you know, it's going to be a tough divisional contest.
Is there any?
You think Daniel Jones could just come and have that good game after this? I mean, after last week. I understand what he did against the Commanders before, but ultimately he did it against the same coaching staff. This is a different staff now.
It is. It is. And you would know a lot better than me, you know, motivation-wise, like how that would work. I'm just looking at it as, you know, it happened once, it happens twice, it happens three times, four times, five. Like, it keeps happening. So I've learned to bet with the streak than against it, because then I'm only wrong, you know, once. but I do think that there's a lot to be concerned with early on. Now, a lot of these concerns can go away for the Commanders. You know, you change some things, you know, you develop some chemistry, et cetera. Your rookie quarterback gets experience. Like, I get all that. But I'm just saying, for this particular week and this particular situation, I am leaning towards the Giants.
God, dude, I don't want to. Yo, somebody let CK
know. What were you thinking? Were you thinking that Washington would kind of walk over New York?
Honestly,
it's not a walkover. He was into the business of making broad statements last year, and they went opposite. So this year he's trying to be more.
I have changed my life ever since halftime of the Bears game.
I got it.
27-3 at home against the Bears changed my life. I don't know. Here's where I'm at. I don't know that the Giants are going to win. I think the Giants are bad. But I know they have a good D-line, and I know Danny Dimes typically plays well against Washington. And I just want to at least temper expectations of fans in this town. Yo, this is not going to be a
cakewalk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's
they're
going to
have to grind out wins. I mean, I'm optimistic about Washington, but I think there's a lot of different storylines where – you can find success, right? Like, I don't think a successful Washington season only hinges on wins and losses. I think if Jaden shows mature, that he's matured throughout the season and he doesn't get hurt, I think that's a humongous win for Washington. I think if they, you know, can figure out some other key guys to use with him, I think that's great. You know, if they obviously they're going to identify the secondary and figure out what needs to, you know, happen there. But, you know, the wins and losses, I'm not going to say they're secondary, but it's not the only successful storyline we could be talking about with Washington throughout the year. But I know it's important to a lot of people.
But and that's the thing where I'm trying to have people understand what you just stated. You know, this year they basically told you what they're trying to do. And if you come out of it with a quarterback that you know is that guy, that's a win. But not most fans are going to listen to that, because right now they're expecting the team to be competing and getting double-digit wins, and I don't think that's possible at this point.
No, and I would even say, you know, a six-win season with Jaden, you know, showing significant growth from week 1 to week 17, staying healthy, I think Washington should be, you know, Washington fans should be thrilled with that result. I think that is a fine result and, you know, more cause for optimism than this franchise has had in, what, 2 decades?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Let's zoom away. Let's zag from the Commanders game, which you predict the Giants to win, to kind of what else stood out to you around the league. What'd you think of Aaron Rodgers the other night?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers didn't look great. I'm actually more concerned about Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. I do not believe he's completely healthy since he suffered that torn Achilles in Week 8 last year. I'm not alone in this, obviously. You look at how they used him. They only let him line up under center once. The rest was in pistol and shotgun. You typically use those formations to give the quarterback some more time, but also to run play action. They didn't run any play action. I am absolutely fading Atlanta until I am sure that Kirk Cousins is healthy. That to me was a big red flag.
Did you think Aaron was healthy? Because I watched Aaron Rodgers. He didn't throw one pass where he stepped into it. Everything was the back foot and the sidearm.
Right, and Kirk Cousins was kind of the same way. Look, you know, when you're an older quarterback and you're coming off an injury, I mean, you can't be expected to to bounce back. I mean, I was optimistic about the Jets. I still am. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is 41, and for football, that's old, right? I mean, like, you're, you know, you're
life.
Definitely in a, on the other side.
That's
of
not
the
football
curve,
old. That's just old.
Well, I mean, I say this in my 50s, right? Like 40 is, you know, football old.
You're in your 50s? So, no way.
Yeah, I'm 51.
No way.
He said that just last week, a week ago.
Well, I have no short-term memory, Brian, but I would have thought you were my age, Greenberg.
No, you just had a rough life, dog.
All right, well, Greenberg, just tell him he had a rough life.
All right, I'm going to put your fantasy skills to the test. This is live. We're going to do this. Bleep it. We'll do it live. I have a roster spot in one league, and I didn't want to waste my waiver claim. I have Jared Goff as my quarterback. These are the options for the player I could pick up here. I could pick up Derek Carr, who I do not believe in, but he sure looked good against the Panthers. I could pick up Lazard. I could pick up Pierce, the kid. Both Pierce and Doolin from the Colts are available. I always lean running backs. Jamal Williams is available from the Saints. I could also go after Tank Bigsby from the Jags. What do you think here?
I like Lazard only because of his familiarity with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
and it looks like that's paying off for him. I mean, he was 6 for 9 the other day. But like you said, I think that you got to go with a running back because that there's so much flux with that position. You can probably always find like a dependable wide receiver for a week or two, but if there's a running back that you think is going to be getting some work, I would always lean towards the running back, like you said.
What do you think about adding the Wilson from the Dolphins? They already said Mostert's out for Thursday night, right?
Yeah, that's the type of thing. Like, I think that, you know, with the waiver wire like that, those are the type of shots that you need to, you need to try with. Because look at, you know, we just saw it in San Francisco, right? I mean, like, you just, you know, you have a big game for Jordan Mason and, you know, as filling in for somebody, and it could really change your outlook. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for, even for running backs that may only have, like, a game or two in them, if they're big games, and, right, you know, not only are you getting those points, but you're keeping them from somebody else, I'm all for it.
Brian, do you know how I have a roster spot available on one of my fantasy teams?
How's that?
Because I drafted Diami Brown with my last pick. Greenberg, am I comfortable to release Diami at this point?
Yeah, I think so. Let the record reflect
he'll have
that
150
I cautioned against drafting McCaffrey.
He gonna release him, and then he'll have 150 yards receiving.
Yeah, well, that happens. But
that's
let the record reflect
goes,
I cautioned against drafting McCaffrey number one in favor of Breece Hall of the Jets.
That
so
is
far,
true.
McCaffrey's
going
to be banged up this year. Take the running back, Mason.
But you know what B. Mitch said? And we kind of laughed at him. When I had this third overall pick, and it went McCaffrey and then CD, we all said, who should I take? And I took Breece Hall, and I'm happy with Breece Hall. You said Saquon.
Yeah,
and
I did.
In week one, he was the best running back in fantasy. For
just
sure.
Saying, man. So I know a little something every once in a while.
Hey, Greenberg, thank you for the time, brother.
Just sparingly.
All right, love you guys. Talk to you soon.
I agree.
That's our guy, Neil. When we come back, we should hear from Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach and birthday boy.
All right. Well, thanks, Tress. And this is B. Mitchell Finley. Let's go out to Commander's Park as Dan Quinn speaks to the media for his Wednesday press conference.
Behind it being 9/11. And many times I weave something into football, and that's certainly not today. But for years I do teach on this day. And it weighs even heavier, you know, being here in the DMV. Many of our players were actually too young to remember some of the extraordinary examples of bravery, and just a good day to remind us all, you know, and do a little teaching on that. So what I try to explain to them is there are heroes among us every day and that are all around us. But you know, how could they know? They were one or two, some of them 3 years old. And so just on this day, get to teach, but it weighs even more, you know, being here in the DMV. So just wanted to acknowledge that, and let's get the day rocking and preparation for New York.
when it comes to Jaden, the what kind of jump can a rookie quarterback make week one to week two, and what are some areas that maybe could be that where he could take that bigger?
Yeah, I hope, John, that it, that you really see it from the entire team to go where you're working an individual skill, you're working an individual skill, now you get to work it with the whole unit. And so there's a difference if you're practicing something on your own, this throw, this thing, this throw, again, again, but now you're putting it in, this timing. This is a little bit faster on this route, this a little bit slower on this route as you're getting some of that communication together. So it applies to Jaden, but really I think it applies overall to the entire team. You've heard me talk about the skills and the individual work, and now when you put all that together, making sure that communication, all the skill as a unit is coming together. So that's where I think you can see the chemistry, the communication of more laps together with the guys, you know, in a game setting. And so for us, that was our first lap at it together with all the group on all three phases. So that's what you want to see, the execution, the chemistry, just continue to take off and go. We haven't been together for a few years, so these are chances to grow and develop. I think they can be done quickly.
And then with Emmanuel Forbes, we saw him go in the X-ray room after the game. And one, how is he? What was that for? And then two, he came out of the game twice. Was that performance or injury related?
Yeah, he banged up his wrist. And so he'll have a splint on that today. We got good news that's not going to knock him out. But he is going to, you know, wear a splint on that wrist to help protect that today. And we'll work it through the week. And like Emmanuel, like a number of the guys, man, like we're working really hard to develop him. You know, would he want some plays back? You bet. But I'd also say, like, this is a young player that we're developing and working with him. And so, you know, he's improving and going to improve. So that's where we're at on that, John.
Dan, the happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
With regards to the receivers, we talked to you the other day a little bit about that, but I guess with like Luke McCaffrey in particular, how do you kind of feel that he's kind of fitting into that group? Because he obviously played, I think, the second most snaps behind Terry. It wasn't looked like he was being used in that way all summer. So where do you kind of think he hit him and where he kind of fits in right now?
I think we're seeing it go like this. And so that's why more reps and more playing time to go. We've really seen kind of that confidence grow, especially inside in the slot, where he can use some of that strength and work guys through. So, yeah, I just kind of can see his development continue to grow. And that's going to happen, you know, with the younger players. They got to get into the fight. And that's where you grow. And the hard part about that, there are some mistakes at times. But you have to be, as a coach, willing to go through that, knowing that on the other end of that, is the development, is the success. And so I was really pleased to see what Luke had, you know, in the first performance for him.
And I don't think we asked you about Noah Brown, why he was inactive. I presume maybe just because he'd just been gotten here recently.
Correct.
Yep. Where is he? Where do you kind of see him fitting? And now that you've seen sort of the other pieces from one game, how do you kind of see him fitting and moving forward?
Yeah, we really see that trending in the right way. And so Noah worked really hard to kind of, you know, offense, you can imagine all the system to get down to go, but he's worked really hard to that. So, yeah, we're definitely trending in the right space for him to get up and be ready. So he's definitely chomping at the bit and was certainly wanting to last week as well. But the best thing, let's make sure we continue that. But, yeah, he's really trending in the right direction on that, Ben.
Hi, Dan. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Johnny Newton.
Yeah.
What's his status, and could we maybe see him on Sunday?
Yeah, you may. And I'm glad that you brought him up because when you're coming back from this, you may see him out today, but that's to set up for tomorrow. So we pushed it hard with him, conditioning that yesterday, hold today, but we wanted the padded day for him to tomorrow. And then so we're trending in the right way, much like we were talking about with Noah. We'll kind of have a better sense for when we get to Friday, but he's definitely trending in the right spot. So we're close for sure. And but I'll trust my eyes and make sure he's going through all the whole process to get ready. But he's yeah, he's definitely pushing it hard to get into this mix.
First NFC East game of the season. You've been a part of these games. Always adds more, right? These division
yes.
games, so important. You've experienced these games. What are these games like, the physicality, the intensity?
There's a lot that goes into the division because you'll know both teams know each other better. When you're playing the first game, usually the you know, the matchups, who's new, who's different, you know, what's been the same and what we played different. The second time, what new wrinkles can you expect? But I would say, man, like, to be a part of this, like, what a cool honor. Like, this is a strong division and has been for, you know, a history of ball. So it's really cool to be a part of it. And so to have, you know, be a part of this game, you know, with Washington and New York, man, we're fired up. But the division, it's a really big deal. And we recognize that and talked about that today.
How important is it for you to find consistency with your kicker? And then does that become more difficult or like stressful as you bring a guy in week two?
Yeah, it's not, you know, like how you draw it up for sure. But I would say that's the nature of competing, that you keep digging and find it. We're going to get that part right. There's fantastic guys in terms of Tress and Tyler and other guys here to go through that. But that speaks to the competitive nature of Adam and the staff to, you know, keep digging to find it. We're really pumped on Austin being here and looking forward to getting him started today.
Hey, Dan, one football, one non-football?
Sure.
Non-football. Where were you on 9/11 and what was that day like for you?
I can, yeah, that's good to probably for the older heads in here. We can have these discussions. Because in the team meeting today, I didn't, you know, go down that way. I said, how could you know? Like in our generation, it was maybe us not knowing about Vietnam or things when we were kids and not knowing that. So it was my first year in the NFL and I was at San Francisco. And so my wife, Stacy, was actually back in New York. She had worked at a college called the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, and she was back there training her replacement to come. So I remember her calling me early in the morning because it was, you know, probably 8:20, you know, 8:30 there. And it was, you know, that time, say, turn on the TV and this is happening. And so kind of explained to the team today, 15 minutes after the first one, the next one was hit. Then I talked about, you know, the flight from Dulles where we leave from, you know, to go to the Pentagon, and another 30 minutes after that to Pennsylvania. And the thing I probably remember about being at when we, it wasn't about football after that. You guys know that week was canceled and that was the last thing on our mind. But I do remember after that how long it took for flights to go back up. And much like here, we would see flights go and you'd hear them all the time, you know, going to Dulles. I imagine it was the same here where practice was quiet and where the training facility was in Santa Clara in San Francisco, the same San Jose airport was really close, Dave. And I remember how quiet it was at practice and when we got back to football, you know, the week after that. But that's where I was. And yeah, certainly remember that.
Football question.
Bring it.
Is your defense, your line got pressure and they got to Baker. They just didn't put him down. I wonder if you've ever seen that, because it was like four or five times. And I wonder if you just like write it off as that can't possibly happen again if we get home as much as we do.
Yeah. You know what? There's always teaching with that. And the thing that you, like I said, if you miss tackles or you're missing, you know, sack opportunities, why? You know, what is that? And so sometimes it's as simple as, Dave, of taking the extra step, you know, where you're leaving your feet or lunging to go make it. Other times it may be a coordinated effort to say, were we in the right space to, you know, try to contain him? Because the mobile quarterbacks who can extend plays, you know, there's basically like two plays. The first one, and then as the person gets out of the pocket, the second one. And we'll do a good job of that this week, because that's definitely one of Daniel Jones' strengths as well. And so, but we do prepare for that, and going against our offense and the quarterbacks here who are mobile, get outside, we're equipped for that. But when you don't handle it, yeah, it's definitely bothersome.
Coach, Sunday is the home opener. It's your first time as the coach of the Commanders at Northwest Stadium. How excited are you to get in front of fans for the first time?
I'm really excited. As you're going through, like right now it's the preparation, and so I'm leaving my excitement for that there. But internally, honestly, like I'm really fired up to do it. So we got a small taste of it a couple weeks back at the end of the preseason. And so that was, you know, first time for us and the team, you know, being in our locker room coming out. And so to get a chance to do it this weekend, nothing better than starting with a division game in your home opener. So, yeah, it's a really big deal and one that we're really pumped about.
And coming out of the game against Tampa Bay, you highlighted your defense's third down issues. How do you address something like that during the week?
Well, I think you want to go back and assess the calls first. So we call that self-scout to say, did it do what it intended to do? And then you look at the execution of something to say, sometimes a team can beat a leverage, all right? Hey, they beat the call on that play and that's acceptable. Other times, if you don't execute it how you want, That doesn't mean the call gets thrown out. It means you have to do things better. And usually when that happens, you want to make sure to streamline it to go execute it at the highest level. So that's what it is. I kind of referred to it earlier, our first lap together. So were there mistakes made? Yes. And will we improve upon those? You bet.
You talk about Tell the Truth Monday. How did film session go with your team, and how did they react to what they saw?
You know, a couple things that jumped out to me, Chick. What did I see Monday, you know, staying there extra, doing extra? And I also saw on Tuesday, you know, which is the players' day off, and I walked past a meeting room, and I saw six guys in watching tape together. So I saw urgency. I felt that, you know, here it was on their day off to say, no, we're coming back in. We're watching, you know, the next thing again, the next thing. So it was quiet, you know, like you would think, take the information to heart. And then you do have to turn the page. And so going into today, you know, that's really what you do to make sure each step of the process, Chick, you just don't miss one of it. And if you nail Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, by the time you get to Saturday evening, like, man, you're ready for that. So, yeah, we're ready to get rocking as we get started on the week.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
You mentioned earlier week that all those turns for Jaden, not exactly what you would want. So to stay there in the pocket a little bit more, or just get rid of the ball?
Yeah, fair question. And sometimes getting outside the pocket may you also remain a passer, let a route develop, or, you know, the option of, you know, checking it down to somebody else. So the great thing about him, I know you guys know this, like, it is our first game. And, like, he's going to be an exceptional player. Are there choices when to go, when to not? Like, you do have to grow and learn into those. And I am 100% certain that he will. But the other part of his game, like, there is legs. And when there's time to go and create a first down and get an explosive, it's there. But there's also some times to move outside the pocket. Like, we're talking about mobile quarterbacks. Now a whole nother play can begin. And so I think you'll see that part of our game come to life in the weeks ahead as well. Now really it's almost like a dual threat. It's the drop back, it's the outside the pocket, and then the running portion of it. So as a defensive coach, it creates a headache, one that I am more than happy to be a part of creating.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. NFL Week 2 is here, and you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place the first $5 bet. We can build a quick same-game parlay for Thursday night's game as the Bills take on the Dolphins. Dalton Kincaid, anytime touchdown. Tyreek Hill, over receiving yards. Josh Allen, over passing yards. And you can throw an anytime touchdown for either one of those two guys in that as well. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ryan to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, and they're still going. Dan Quinn is still talking to the media here. A lot of questions being asked about what happened, how they're going to correct these things and all. And listen, you got to just keep practicing. And I think the ultimate thing is, it's not like they're not trying to get it done. He talked a lot about there being a lot of plays to where they were checking at the line and they were missing it. Everything didn't work the way they wanted. Ty Bowles is a guy who loves to blitz, and it puts a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on an offense, especially a young quarterback like Jaden Daniels. But as they go forward, he get a chance to play against the Giants, who don't blitz as much, but you never know. They may try to blitz because the mere fact that he saw Todd them have some level of success, and they may try it out again. But the ultimate thing is, you're going to have some guys coming back on this team now, adding Newton, they can get him back. Didn't say for sure. Noah Brown, a guy who I saw both of those guys working out in Tampa. And by what they were doing, I saw quickness. I like what I see. Noah Brown gives you a different level of what you don't have. He's a little taller than the other guys. Newton is as quick as they come. And you can't wait to see those guys possibly get on the football field. I understand that this is a rebuild, and I keep saying that, and I just want people to understand it. But the ultimate thing is, you could be in a rebuild and still try to have some level of success. And I believe when you have guys with those capabilities, like those two young men, you want to get them on the field because, hey, you may be able to have something right under your nose that you did not know that you had, and then you don't have to go looking the next year or whatever else. But, listen, it's kind of hard for me at this point when I know that we've come in, and I've said it several times, we have a new team, new coaches, a completely new franchise in a sense. And I can't judge it based off of what it was. I know a lot of people do, and then that's your right to do that. But if we're going to start moving this thing forward, then if you know that you have going through a rebuild, you have to lower your expectations in a sense. And I'm not saying just completely have no expectations at all. But you have to be able to lower them just a little bit to allow people to go out there and grow into this thing. Hey, we have guys on this team that I believe are going to be exceptional, especially the quarterback. But you can't expect them to know everything and do everything right the first time. You know, I've been talking to some guys on the chat, which I like to do. And I'm not going to always answer in a jovial, nice way, because if you say something that kind of, you know, annoys me or pisses me off, I'm going to come right back at you with it. That's the way I've always been my whole life. But the ultimate thing is, he was saying, well, I don't want to see 16 runs. That's the dude locked on law. And I said, well, how about if he has 4 to 5 runs and then have those completions? Because I think as Jaden goes through it, he's going to make the right decisions. I believe that he's going to be a young man who is going to start to scramble and then still be able to hit it down the field. JP mentioned Pat Mahomes earlier. Pat is exceptional at this. But look how long he's played. Okay, the guy's won 3 Super Bowls already. He has a lot of experience. He played a lot of football games. But I don't expect Jaden Daniels to understand and know all that already just because he's on the field and he has talent. You know, I say it all the time. I say we guys have to learn how to play this game of football. And everyone assumes you could just, oh, he was good in college. You could be good in college and step to the next level and don't be good. Because if you just accustomed to being good because your team was better than most of the teams you played or the talent on your team was better, when you get to the NFL, those passes that you threw behind a person becomes interceptions. Those passes that your guy was able to wait for, those passes become knocked down or interceptions as well. So you got to get more precise. And every player, I don't care who you are, it's kind of rare that a player steps from college, goes into the pros, and instantly becomes a star. You know, a lot of times you have to learn some stuff. And if guys come in and they have some level of success, they still are going to have those rookie hiccups. And I don't expect Jaden to be perfect. I expect him to get better as the people around him get better. I expect him to get better as the chemistry of the team begins to get better. That's something that happens. You know, hell, I'll tell people, I was learning stuff still in my 14th year. You know, you don't know everything about this game, even when you've been playing it a while. And it's kind of not fair to the player to sit there and expect them to know everything when they finally step in. So I would just caution people to, you know, don't make everything to make the quick decisions after one game. Don't begin to get so dismissive as soon as a game goes. And don't get too damn excited if they win one game. You know, if you win one, if they had won the game on Saturday or Sunday, I would have been telling everybody the same thing. Pump the brakes a little bit. It's just one game. You've heard me say those things many, many times about how we overreact. Let's allow ourselves to enjoy it a little bit instead of automatically we win a game and boom, we go into the Super Bowl, into the playoffs. No. Win the game. And just like I saw on one of these things on the thing today, win the game and then realize that we are going to have to build on this one game at a time. If you keep doing that, you'll be much better off. So take us a quick break here. When we get back, JP and I discuss this a little bit more. No, I think we have a guest coming on. So we'll discuss later on in the show. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We'll be right back.